Romans 16, the last chapter, and the part of the book that I used to skip, or at least skim really fast. If you look at 16, it's almost all greetings. Hello to Priscilla, Aquila, Mary, Andronicus, Junia, Ampliatus, Urbanus, Apelles, Aristobulus, Herodian, Narcissus, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, Rufus, Asyncritus, Philemon, Hermes. I'm just getting started. It's a lot of names. Question, of course, why is it in the Bible? I mean, all that personal stuff makes sense for the letter, but why not leave it out of our copy? I have to say, I've come to love these little notes at the end of the epistles. They capture something, one of the most precious parts of Christian life for me. I'll explain why as we go. Just follow along. The chapter begins, "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church of Centria." This is Paul's personal commendation of a woman named Phoebe. Most likely, Phoebe was the one carrying this letter. She was a church deacon, which is a big deal, because she was a woman. In fact, about half the people listed here are women. There are sisters and moms, and most of them are fellow gospel workers, alongside the men and alongside Paul. Trust me, it's a big deal. The role of women in church life has long been an issue, and Christians argue it. See, every culture has its norms, for gender roles and other stuff, and those norms get into church. And most of the time, people try to find something in the Bible that supports their comfortable cultural norms. If a man wants to keep women down, point to the creation story. See, men first. Men are always first. God said so. And people have used the Bible to defend sexism or racism or pretty much any kind of me first, you second ideology that is clearly the opposite of the gospel. But the gospel is others first about everything. And it's true, God took the first woman from the body of the man, but he also brought every man since then, through all history, from the body of a woman. God set balance in the system, so be wary of one-sided arguments. So then, what's the deal with men and women? Well, Romans 16 does not give us a theology review on gender roles, but it does give us a peek at the real people of the first century church, and the men and women here are commended and greeted and encouraged with equal treatment. So what about Phoebe? Verse 2. "I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people." That means show this woman respect. "And to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me." So Phoebe was a benefactor. She supported ministry financially. Do not underestimate the importance of givers. When I think through the word givers, I mean it. You would never have heard of us if givers hadn't given. In fact, the gospel would hardly have gotten to any of us if givers hadn't done their part in every century. One of our donors said to me, "All I did was write a check." Listen, all any of us do is be faithful to the part God calls us to, with the gifts that he gives us. All I did was explain the Bible, but we're all in this together. Paul says, show some respect to this woman, a deacon and a benefactor. Deacon, by the way, just means one who serves. In God's kingdom, the servant is the greatest. Then in verse 3, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them." Paul mentions a house church they host, which is an awesome ministry for any of you. Back then, house church was the church, and an awesome way for church to meet today, too. Paul greets more, Epaphroditus and Mary. In verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, who did time in prison with Paul. That's some fellowship. Paul calls them apostles, not the original 12, but apostles are basically church planters. In verse 12, more girls, Tryphena and Tryphosa, women who work hard in the Lord. And back on the subject of women, lots of these women worked alongside the men in the church. That's important. Genesis 1 tells us both male and female are made in God's image. But clearly, we reflect different aspects of his image, and it's silly to paint us the same. Equality doesn't mean the same role, but it should mean same respect. Mom is different from dad, and that's good. There's balance. But what are the roles of men and women in church? Now, I'm not going to give a definitive answer here, but I do hope I'll push you to seek out answers from the Word and let the Word influence your culture. Example, the Bible calls Christian wives to submit, but it does not call women to submit to all men in general, nor does it say any woman is lesser than any man. Submit to husband means let him lead, but that's only one side. Husband is called to die to himself and lead his wife, setting her needs above his, the way Jesus leads. Marriage is sacrifice on both sides, and there is balance. Remember, one-sided theology always stinks, and it's an abuse of the word. Men and women do serve different roles in church. We are not interchangeable parts. In 1 Timothy 2, Paul gives some directions so that a woman does not take authority over a man. Now, I'll admit, that's a tough verse, and your church might read it differently than mine does. But keep it in balance. Here and other places, women were deacons, workers, prophetesses, teachers. They used their gifts, and the men are told to respect the women. Now, I know that's an incomplete answer, but the list of names keeps going here. Now, here's why I love this stuff, because it's personal. The New Testament is as personal as you can get. God did not choose to write us an encyclopedia of doctrine. He wrote letters. Check that. People wrote letters to other people, and the Holy Spirit stepped into that, into the very act of a man writing a personal letter to people that he genuinely cares about. Paul loved these people. Each one is a story with memories. Paul names dear friends, men and women with memories of working together, prison together. In verse 13, a brother named Rufus and his mom, who was like a mom to Paul too. A home where Paul stayed and became like family. These aren't just funny names, they're friends. Now verse 17 has a note of warning. Watch out for people who cause divisions. God wants us unified. Paul told us earlier to be patient with people who are a little legalistic. But if they start dividing others along their lines, or worse yet, if it's a pastor who gets the whole church judging each other, Paul says stay away. And then there's a whole nother list of people who are sending greetings. Paul is not a one-man show. His team wants to say hi. In verse 21, Timothy, Lucius, Jason, Tertius, a former slave who penned this letter. For me, all of this is a beautiful picture of Christian life. Ministry is a hard road sometimes, but the friends you make on the way are amazing. And that is exactly where God works. He could have given us cold doctrine or even magic spells or food or whatever he wanted, but God chose people. We are the medium of his masterpiece. Friendships and homes and gifts working together and the trials of getting along. And that's how Through the Word works too. I'm not a computer voice. This is personal to me. And I send greetings to you, all of you who are part of this, you who share and pray and support this work. Chris and Kim, who hosted us in Oklahoma, the Greens in Pennsylvania, Jim in New Jersey, who's been a catalyst for us. John David just sent me a note from Guatemala, and Carmen, Hazel, Maria, little baby Hope. The notes we get mean so much to me. John and Pam, Mike and Susie, who've been so faithful in supporting, Tom and Kathy, David and Cynthia, I could go on. You say, Chris, you're boring me with all these names. But these are people. The whole reason for this ministry, the whole reason for this Bible, is the people God cares about and the people that God works through. And speaking of which, my people send greetings to you. Ryan, my right-hand man. Without Ryan, I couldn't do this. Caleb, my son, my web guy. My wife, Andrea, whose pretty voice you hear in every study. Our teachers, Jonathan, Sandy, Peyton, Bill, everyone. They all send greetings. When you read Romans 16, and yes, read the names, remember the people you know, the medium of God's work in your life. And with that, we close out journey number 3. I'm adding this short epilogue to thank you for taking me on this adventure. Once again, I'm going to miss you guys. Until the next journey, we still have 16 to go. Up next, journey number 4 is Law and Grace. As we open up the Bible's grand story of redemption in Exodus, Jonathan Ferguson joins me in the studio as Moses leads the Israelites out of slavery and into the wilderness. Then God delivers the Ten Commandments. And next up is the law in Leviticus. Peyton Jones is your guide there. And if you've ever been bored with Leviticus, Peyton will both liven it up and enlighten you on this important book. We'll also mix in some New Testament and balance out the message of law with some powerful grace in Ephesians, Peter, and Galatians, some of my personal favorites. Of course, if another journey looks right for you, feel free to jump ahead to Wisdom and Worship or even to End Times and invite someone to join you. The journeys are perfect for small groups. Just search for 19 journeys in the YouVersion plans. Or if you can't find it here, we've got all 19 journeys on the Through the Word app at throughtheword.org. So what are you waiting for? I'm ready when you are. time for another journey. Road trip.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.